Welcome to the Global Venture in Review podcast. My name's James Mawson, founder and editor-in-chief of our three publications, Global Corporate Venturing, Global University Venturing, and Global Government Venturing. It gives me great pleasure to give a quick review of the past week's news, and we start off with probably the most eagerly anticipated job search, or eagerly watched job search over the past few months, has been for Uber, following on from the sort of well-publicised travails for the company and departure of CEO Travis Kalanick. We've seen them do a look through for a new chief executive, and they found one in Expedia's CEO, Dara Khosrowshahi, who's been chosen as the CEO of Uber. Dara comes from a sort of quite the storied Iranian exiled family. Some of his cousins and nieces and other related family members work for Google Ventures over in Europe. They work over in different sort of companies and areas. And Dara's own experience has been quite interesting, just looking through the narrow lens of how corporate venturing aids a company's innovation toolset, and this experience could be helpful for Uber, we think. One of its portfolio companies, Expedia, has been Argentina-based Despegar, which filed for initial public offering on the New York Stock Exchange last month in August, and Expedia was also in the news recently, and the subject of a GCV analytics teardown, as it invested $350 million in Indonesia-based travel and accommodation booking platform Traveloka. Founded in 1999, Despegar runs an online flight and travel accommodation booking platform that focuses on Latin America, particularly Brazil, where it operates as Decolar. We'll be over in Brazil actually in a month's time. I can't believe how quickly it's come round since last year's Corporate Venture in Brazil conference, but looks like we've got an amazing program and a great sort of group or delegation of international corporate venturers coming down to Brazil for the next iteration, the next series from Apex Brazil folks in partnership with Global Corporate Venturing. So can't wait to be over there and say hello to a load of folks. So that's been the most exciting of the people moves. You can look more on Expedia's sort of teardown or of its deals over the past few years under Dara, with our GCV analytics sort of review and bubble charts. And we should be eagerly anticipating that sort of Uber come along to our GCV and I summit at the end of January. We're expecting Ian to be able to join us there and give a lowdown of what's been happening and what the sort of new CEO is expecting to do. One of which, actually, I'll mention before we get to exits, but Dara is already in an all-hands share and conference, said he's looking to take the company public and float on stock exchange within 18 to 36 months, although there's no firm deadline to that. But he's certainly given an indication. But back to people. Philip Fleischer has been promoted at Seven Ventures. The promotion came after Casper Sage, a senior investment manager at ProSieben Sat.1 Media, left to become a principal at automotive manufacturer BMW's corporate venturing unit, BMW iVentures. Earlier in the year, we had Florian Pauthner have been promoted to CEO of Seven Ventures, the ProSieben Sat.1 corporate venturing unit. Other moves, we've mentioned Uber as one, but also on the sort of autonomous vehicle, Sherry House has driven over to Waymo. She's now director and head of corporate finance at Waymo, covering corporate development, having been vice president for corporate development, covering mergers and acquisitions and corporate venture capital at car parts maker Visteon. Other moves, Brian Walsh snapped from Konica to McKinsey. He was a head of Japan-based Konica Minolta's innovation strategy and new venture development efforts for North America, and he's joined management consultants McKinsey's new ventures team in order to help other corporations develop their innovation practices. And Mikihiro Yasuda-san leaves DNA. He had been a partner in the strategic investment officer for DNA and left to set up a fund focused on artificial intelligence startups, he said. Been in charge of DNA's investments in European US markets since April 2014, after a year in San Francisco as a senior director. So some of the people moves there. We've got a couple more to come, including very excited to give a quick sneak preview that MasterCard's sort of legendary strategic development chap over the past 8 years, Jeff Allen, has left and joined Amazon. But we're expecting sort of Jeff to also join us at the GCVI summit at the end of January. So early preview of some of the news happening there. We'll do a write-up on that next week. Oh, and I'll say another one, little sneak preview, but there's a bit of change happening over at Total, French oil major. We've seen a sort of a move for their CEO of their Total Ventures over to sort of the US. So there'll be a likely replacement, which we'll be able to announce next month. On the fun side, not too much on the corporate side, actually, this week, but on the university, Global University Venturing, OSI, Oxford Sciences Innovations, received an investment of undisclosed size from Legal & General, which is a mutual fund manager. They've invested in hundreds of startups, actually, in Legal & General. In fact, they're back in OSI to tap into the next wave of entrepreneurs is an interesting decision. And Imperial College, also in the UK, and Imperial Innovations have introduced Founders' Choice, a programme that offers academics the option to retain 95% of equity, rather than sometimes often even 50% that goes to universities. On the government side, Vertex, Singapore's strategic investment unit, part of their sovereign wealth funds, has pushed beyond $150 million for its latest fund, securing external investment for the first time from Thailand's Kasikorn Bank. So that's an interesting outside LP coming into Vertex Ventures. In Hungary, the Szecheny Fund has been extended by $31 million and will now operate until the end of 2025. And in the US, the St. Louis Regional Chamber built 5-Minute Spirit of St. Louis Fund 1, which will offer seed capital to local startups in partnership with VC firms and banks. On the exit side, we mentioned Dara's IPO plans, but other IPO that have been announced is Best in China, a supply chain services provider backed by Alibaba, Cainiao, and reportedly Foxconn, has increased the stakes of its initial public offering by an updated regulatory document that puts it at plan to float and raise more than $1 billion, up from $750 million. The company still hasn't priced its shares, but it looks like it may be another profitable exit for Alibaba, the company's largest shareholder. We're 23.4% stake. Actually, we've just been doing some analysis on China's unicorn ahead of our GCV Asia Conquest later this month on the 21st in Hong Kong. Really fascinating to see how quickly the sort of corporate venture-backed community have followed on and sort of led the development of unicorns or private companies worth at least $1 billion. So we'll be announcing that analysis alongside similar work done by Martin Hamig at the GCV Asia Congress, so it'll be a 1-2 on some fairly unique data and insights there, so we're looking forward to that. And then Berry Genomics has completed its reverse merger with Shenzhen-listed Chengdu Tianxing Instrument and Meter, first announced in December 2016. The transaction valued Berry Genomics at 4.3 billion renminbi, which is about $653 million in today's money, although 619 when the deal was agreed last year. The transaction provided an exit to Legend Capital, who take part in the Series A, B, and C rounds. So, looks like a nice exit for Legend. Another reverse merger, Synlogic, has completed its reverse merger with Nasdaq-listed Moderna, which is backed by Pfizer and Baxter, following approval by Moderna's shareholders. And CSL has accessed Calimmune for $91 million. CSL Behring has agreed to acquire Calimmune, a developer of gene therapy treatments that is backed by an unnamed pharmaceutical firm. Intriguing. Keen to learn which one has got a nice exit there. On the tech side, Western Digital has acquired UpThere. UpThere was one of its portfolio companies, and so it's also provided an exit to GV, formerly known as Google Ventures. So a nice exit, and a nice purchase for Western Digital, which has actually been on a bit of a tear in terms of deal making. They merged their corporate venturing units and acquired another sort of group a while ago, and it seems like they're sort of harvesting some of their portfolio companies. So interesting to see. On the university venture side, the big deal of the past week has been Nightstar, which is due to light up the stock market. The University of Oxford spin-out has filed for an $86.25 million IPO in the US just 3 years after being founded. So that is spectacularly quick. I think the average for an IPO is about sort of 8 or 9 years now, so that is going some. So congratulations to the team there. On the investment side, with all the buzz around Uber's new chief executive, Dara, you'll be forgiven for thinking there isn't much else going on in the ride-sharing world. But as we've seen, Singapore-based Grab is slowly inching towards its $2.5 billion fundraising goal for its Series G round, already stood at $2 billion thanks to commitments from SoftBank and Didi Chuxing. Toyota, the Japan carmaker, has also joined the action, inking a data partnership with Grab as part of a deal whose value has not been disclosed, but appears to be below the $500 million figure that Grab needs to close the round. No words on the valuation either, although SoftBank and Didi Chuxing made an investment at a $6 billion valuation. And two logistics companies, GoGoVan and 58 Shuyun, have agreed to a merger that will create Hong Kong's first unicorn. So that would be very well timed for us to be in Hong Kong to lure the local scene there and benefit with our partners over there. So can't wait actually to go. I'm just almost giddy with excitement for that Asia Congress. We've got a who's who of the the local regional sort of corporate venturing community, all the way from Tencent, Meituan, 58. I think Didi should be coming along. We've got sort of Rakuten and Line, Sompo and Yamaha from Japan. We've got Samsung and NC Soft and Hyundai from Korea. You know, it's everyone. Everyone's coming there. It's and then a who's who of the international corporate venturing community flying in to meet and understand the local community. You really can't underestimate how quickly and how rapidly the Asian scene's going. So delighted, and our timing seems to have been pretty good, judging by this latest uniform creation. And food delivery is also a hotly contested sector, and many of the startups involved have changed hands. For example, Tastykano has been purchased by Foodpanda, which in turn was acquired by Delivery Hero, or Just Eat subsidiary Hello Food Brazil, becoming part of iFood. Now another one is joining the list. Waimu has been acquired by Ellie.me for a reported $800 million, which would be down significantly from the estimated $2.5 billion valuation last year. But what's interesting is Waimu was a subsidiary of Baidu, although it raised $70 million in external funding from investors such as restaurant chain Ichisen. Baidu will retain a small stake in the venture. They'd also backed, Ellie Me's been one of those companies that's also been backed by the so-called bats, Baidu, Alibaba and Tencent, which end up competing. Have done so much to drive the valuations and the sort of startup ecosystem, in particularly in China and more broadly in the rest of the world. Another one, part of the BAT Alibaba and Yunfeng Capital, the investment vehicle of the e-commerce group's founder Jack Ma, have put $152 million into cloud computing business Qunyun. The corporate sector used Qunyun's expertise to boost its own offering, Alibaba Cloud, while the startup will take the cash to improve its technology and serviceability. Qunyun's platform applies big data analytics and AI technology to cloud services such as storage and live streaming. You cannot find hotter areas than big data, AI, and cloud services such as storage and live streaming. So they have the trifecta there, and no wonder they've raised a huge amount of money. So congratulations to them. On the health tech side, Freenome, a developer, has added $7 million to its Series A round, which is already backed by GV, formerly known as Google Ventures, at $72 million. The extension was led by Section 32, the investment firm founded by Bill Maris, the founder and former chief executive of GV. And he isn't the only Googler, or Zoogler, as they know for an ex-Googler, to get in on the action. Innovation Endeavors, the VC firm co-founded by former Google CEO Eric Schmidt, put capital towards the round's first close back in March. On top of that, the latest press release also named another Alphabet subsidiary as a shareholder. Life science company Verily, although details were not disclosed. So Freenome might, to all extents and purposes, seem an independent company, but it could not have any closer ties to Google and its parent company Alphabet. So it'd be interesting to see what that comes out of that development. Also on the healthcare side, we've seen Armo Biosciences has added $67 million to its coffers in a Series C1 round that featured GV again and Celgene, which both participated in $50 million CVC in February last year. Armo is working on immunotherapies targeting non-small cell lung cancer, renal cell cancer, and advanced pancreatic cancer. Oof. Good luck treating all those. It'd be very good for humanity if they're able to do so. And the company has raised $167 million in funding today. By contrast, GV puts out about $500 million a year, they reckon, according to insiders. It's still owned by the Google Alphabet conglomerate, although word on the street is that Google is also preparing to put some money behind an independent fund to then go out and invest in a lot of minority and women-led startups. So it'll be interesting to see what happens on that side of things from Low Tony's sort of new operation there. Good luck to Low on that side of things. Biggest deal in one area was Quidium, which has amassed $40 million in the Series B round led by Institutional Venture Partners. The company, which is backed by O'Reilly Media, in its $6 million C round back in 2015, indexes devices on the public internet to help companies monitor security risks beyond an internal network. So, interesting. Back in China, ABC FinTech, which was perhaps unoriginally named, but it certainly does the job, has added $30 million to its coffers thanks to investors such as Swiss Quihana International Group's SIG Asia Investment. ABC FinTech operates cloud-based AI platforms, tick those boxes, to help financial firms visualize the data and predict performance of public stock. The money will help ABC FinTech to develop their technology further and expand internationally. Alice, the developer of a hotel management platform, secured $26 million Series B from Expedia in a deal facilitated by Dara before he stepped down to join Uber. The figure may seem blue to be included in this list, but Expedia in fact acquired a majority stake with its investment. So is it an investment or is it an exit? Corbett had earlier led a 9.5 million Series A round for Alice, but the size of its stake had not been revealed. VideoAmp has secured 21.4 million in the Series B round for MediaOcean, returning back his RTL. RTL led the Series A round for VideoAmp. And on the government side, Vulog has eyed 20 million in its Series B round from BPI France to help the shared car platforms fund round. And on the university side, we've seen CureFit Healthcare has raised funding from investors including the UCRMT Fund, a venture capital fund established by the University of California with Ratan Tata. Mentioned the GCBI Summit coming up at the end of January, which will be in California. We're delighted to be working with the University of California in order to bring some of their star alum out of their 1.8 million alum in order to get some of the best of the best to be presented in front of the sort of 500 or so, 600 corporations who are expected at next year's event. Should be about $4.5 trillion of aggregate annual revenue. So it should be a who's who of the community coming together at the end of January, and who's who of the sort of the best and brightest entrepreneurs getting together. So can't wait for that. And thanks very much to Christine Gorbranson and Victoria Slivakov for helping organise that partnership. So that's all for the past week. Keep your eyes out on our three websites for the sort of breaking news as we're able to report them over the next few weeks, giving you some early indications, and have a good week.
Global Venturing Review was produced by In Ear Production. You can find out more by going to inearproduction.com.